you want to open your Bibles or your apps or your devices to that passage, we're going to be in Luke chapter 11 today as we continue in our series, The Power of Prayer. We're looking at the topic, how to pray today. Last week we looked at what is prayer. Today, how to pray as we continue to seek to see lives transformed in our midst. Let me pray for us fittingly as we come to this time in our service together. Well, Lord, as your prayer, the Lord's prayer opens with, we want to acknowledge your holy name in this place here today. We want to lift up the name of Jesus. We want to worship the name of Jesus in this place. That is our aim, that is our goal every Sunday, Lord God, to glorify not ourselves, but you, the majestic, the supreme, the almighty Lord God, the loving Heavenly Father who loves his church, loves his people. And so, Lord, as we reflect on these attributes of you and as we reflect on how great and how awesome you are, Father, I again ask that we would, through our lives, worship you. Through our the way we think and what we say, it would praise your name and honor your name, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, for this time now that as we reflect on this passage, as we come to understand how you have called us to pray to you and to initiate intimacy with you, we ask, Lord God, that you would again, speak to us and help us understand more of your word and understand more of the way of life that you have called us to embrace. We pray all these things in your son's wonderful name. Amen. Well, we held our first Sunday night prayer night last Sunday, and it was a great opportunity for us to come together corporately to pray. And thank you for those who were there. We actually had Malachi up on the computer doing that for us. That was good fun. But we encourage you to start reflecting on putting these dates in your diaries when they arise to come and pray together corporately, as we spoke about last week, so important. But in that time, I shared with the group and I spoke about or asked the question, what comes to mind for you when you hear the word prayer? What image, what passage, what word, what comes to mind for you when you hear the word prayer or you talk about prayer? So I ask the same question for us here today. What comes to mind for you when you hear the word prayer? What image comes to mind? What word comes to mind? I encourage us to share, to encourage one another once again here today. What comes to mind for you when you hear the word prayer? It could be one word or an image or a memory. What comes to mind for you when you hear the word prayer? Lorraine? Amen. Yep. That's good. Yep. Personal relationship, communicating. For those online, you might want to put it in the chat section there. Anyone else? Alan?
Communication with God and trusting that while
an answer. Amen. Absolutely. Instant communication with God, trusting that you'll get an answer according to his word. Others? What comes to mind for us?
Strength.
Strength. It's a good word. It's a good image. Amen. Anyone else? One or two more?
Trust.
Trust.
We don't go with anyone confident. We don't trust.
Amen. Yeah, that's a good one.
Match. I think it's important when we think of the word prayer that God will answer our prayers. Hmm.
Amen. You're taking away my sermon, mate. Do you want to come up? And amen, though, yes. We'll be talking about that. No, that's good. Trust me, answered according to his will. Peace. Amen, yeah. Very much so.
Obedience.
Obedience. Absolutely.
Well, my creator, who knows what's best for me.
Amen. Very good words, images. One more. Now I can't stop them. Amen. Yep. Relying on God's ability to give clear direction for our lives. There's a few online today. Last one there.
Sometimes you need an answer right away, and sometimes you have to wait a bit longer.
Also taken away from a sermon. That's good. No, amen. It's very true. Sometimes it doesn't always happen when we want it. There's a wait, there's a maybe. We're going to talk a bit about that today. Well, the image that comes to mind for me as I reflect on this word prayer, I've shared this before, but I keep coming back to it. The image that I always think of is playing hide and seek with my dad. Anyone have the memory of playing hide and seek with their parents growing up, or hide and seek in general? Anyone played that game before? You know what we're talking about when I talk about that? Absolutely. There's this beautiful picture or image I found online just with a child playing hide and seek with their dad. And I had fond memories playing this game with my father growing up and in our house. And I was a determined little man, still am, I guess. I'm very competitive, don't like losing. If you didn't know that, don't know that about me, I don't like losing. I've had to learn to be more humble in that, particularly when it comes to playing games with the kids. But I don't like losing. I always wanted to win growing up. And I always wanted to find my dad. It gave me more joy seeking my dad, trying to find my dad, as opposed to him finding me. And I would always, when I used to always find my dad, the beautiful thing about this memory for me is that when I did eventually find him, there was so much joy to be had when I did find my dad. He would wrestle me or tickle me, would have a laugh, and then I would go and hide, and he would come and find me. But again, no doubt many of us here can think back to a time playing this game with our parents or our friends. But I, again, have found this image of a father playing hide and seek with their son to be a great image of the kind of relationship that you and I can harvest with our Heavenly Father if only we seek Him out. Amen. And by that, I believe that it's not God playing hide and seek with us. He doesn't hide from us. Amen. Actually the other way around, because he's revealed himself in incredible ways in the person of Jesus. It's when you think about hide and seek, it'd be like my dad coming out and saying, I'm here. That's what he's done with us. He's saying, I'm here, I'm ready to be have a relationship initiated with. It's not God who hides from us, but it's us that hides from him. Amen. It's us who take ourselves away from his presence because of our sin, because of our selfish choices and mistakes that we make. But there's always open arms for him, willing us back to himself. But I would say from my experience that it's, again, us that plays hide and seek with God. And we need to be seeking God in a way that seeks him out. Ultimately, we do this, as we've been talking about, through the means of prayer. Prayer, as we spoke about last week, is what initiates relationship with God. And as that passage talks about, if we seek him, God says we will find him if we seek him with all our hearts. Well, last week we looked at what it is to pray, or what is prayer. Today, again, we're looking at how we actually do the act of praying or prayer. What is it, the formula, the model that God has given us in the Lord's Prayer? We're going to be diving into that. But going back to my experience with my playing hide and seek with my earthly father, it is again an experience I will never, ever forget. And along those lines, pastor and author Tim Keller says this in his book, Prayer, Experiencing Awe and Intimacy with God. A great book on prayer if you wanted to grab one. Grab a copy of this book. But this is what it says. This is what Tim Keller says. Conversation with God leads to an encounter with God. Prayer is not only the way we learn what Jesus has done for us, but also is the way we daily receive his benefits. Prayer turns theology into experience. Through it, we sense his presence and receive his joy, his love, his peace, and confidence, and thereby we are changed in attitude, behavior, and character. Again, that's what we're seeking to see happen in this place, amen? That we are changed in attitude, behavior, and character. What brings that about? Prayer. Prayer is what we need to be going to. Jesus is who we are meant to be going to if we are to change and transform into his very image. But I love that little section in the middle there that's underlined on the screen. Prayer turns theology into experience. Theology is a study of God. We can have all the knowledge about God that we can hope for, but it's not until we experience him that it goes into our very hearts, amen? Prayer turns what we know about God from our heads into experiencing it in our hearts. Prayer turns theology into experience, which begs the question here today, how do we pray so that we experience God in that way? How do we, in fact, pray that we come to experience God in incredible, incredible ways? Well, the Jesus' disciples asked the same question of Jesus in Luke chapter 1, and Jesus responded with a formula and a model that we ought to embrace and adopt into our lives, our prayer lives as well. We had that the New International Version read out to us. I want to read the Passion Version to us. It's a different translation, same heart and context, but just different words. It's so beautiful. Let me read that out to you again. Our Heavenly Father, this is the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, Our Heavenly Father, may the glory of your name be the center on which our life turns. May your Holy Spirit come upon us and cleanse us. Manifest your kingdom on earth and give us our needed bread for the coming day. Forgive our sins as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us, and rescue us every time we face tribulations. Isn't that a beautiful version of the Lord's Prayer? But this is the model of prayer that, again, we are to embrace and adopt into our daily prayer lives as we come to our God for help, as we come to our God and turn to Him in our daily lives. And yet what we see, first of all, in this prayer, the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us, the way we ought to pray, first and foremost, is to pray reverently. Pray reverently is the first point here today. And by reverently, we mean harvesting a deep respect and admiration for God. Scripture tells that we can need to come to a place of where we fear God. This is a healthy fear, similar to what the kind of fear we have for the ocean and the waves. We don't go into the ocean willy-nilly thinking that all will be, you know, grand and fun. You know, we go in there with a healthy fear, don't we? Realizing that if we don't take it seriously, it could end pretty bad for us. The same with God. This is the kind of fear that we are to harvest, the healthy reverence and respect for who He is and admiration for God. And that's why Jesus starts by saying, Heavenly Father, hallowed or holy is your name. The word holy translated means perfect, whole, complete. And I think sometimes we can come to God in prayer and we automatically jump into our prayer request, don't we? We can automatically jump into our needs and what we want and what's going on in our lives. But Jesus says, start by reflecting on the awe-inspiring wonder of who God is. Start by reflecting on the character, the holiness of God, how supreme He is, His majesty, His incredible nature, His loving character. And what Jesus is ultimately calling us to do is to praise Him, to thank Him, from the outset for who He is, for what He has done, for that ultimately shapes the rest of our prayers, amen? It shapes our prayer lives. Again, in the book I shared earlier by Tim Keller, Prayer, he shares a testimony about this woman in his own congregation when he spoke on this topic, when he spoke about the importance of praising God first in our prayers and thanking God first. And this woman took it to heart, applied it to her life. Let me read to you her testimony. Before, she said, I would run right into my prayer list, and the more I went through all the problems and needs, the more anxious and burdened I would get. Now I've started spending time thinking about how good and wise He is and how many prayers He's answered of mine in the past. And when I get to my own needs now, I find I can put them in His hands and I feel the burden coming off me. Isn't that a beautiful testimony of someone who's put the Lord Jesus' teachings in practice? This is her experience. This is her testimony. And then Tim Keller goes on to say after that, praise and adoration are the necessary preconditions of the proper formulation and motivation for all other kinds of prayer. This doesn't mean we never go immediately to prayer, petition and confession, but it means that in our overall prayer life, praise and adoration must have a prime place. Praise and adoration must have prime place in our prayers, amen. Because what that does, it takes the onus off us, it releases our agendas and puts them on Him. It's about Him at the end of the day. And I encouraged our leadership team with this before our meeting during the week, and I must say it was one of the most powerful prayer times I believe we've had together, because we started by praising Him. We started by thanking Him for who He is, instead of going to the various amount of prayer requests in the life of our church. Because simply praising Him, adoring Him, again, it takes the focus off us and onto Him. Amen. So next time we come to pray, simply start by praising Him. I encourage us to do this. See the difference it makes to your prayer life. Thank Him before you jump, for who He is, before you jump into your list of prayer requests. But again, I think we can't miss the point, as we touched on last week, and I want to reinforce here today, of the importance of acknowledging and saying in our prayers, Father. This word Father has beautiful connotations. The word Father that Jesus used here is Abba. It's the same word for Father that He uses on the cross. When He cries out, Father, Abba, Father, why have you forsaken me? It's the same address. It's Aramaic, and it's the same address that a child says to their parents or their dad. Again, we see an insight into the kind of intimate, incredible relationship that Jesus shared with His Heavenly Father. You know what? He says that we too can have the same kind of relationship, amen? It's a beautiful image once again of how much God loves you and I. Again, that He would send His Son to die the death that we ourselves deserved. But when we speak of this loving, heavenly, merciful Father who is holy, again, this word holy means perfect and whole, we're actually coming to speak about and reflect on His whole entire character. And when we reflect on His character, we come to see Him as a faithful, loving Father that we can trust. Amen. And some of you have echoed that in this place, that when you reflect on His character, He's a trustworthy, He's a faithful Father. So that when we do eventually bring our prayer requests to Him, we can trust that He will answer them according to His good will and His good purposes. Amen. So this is the next area that we come to when we speak about how ought we pray. First of all, we are called to pray reverently. Second of all, we are called to pray expectantly. And yes, this is about coming to a God who we know is all-knowing and all-powerful, who can answer our prayers in an instant, but it's more about praying expectantly, expecting Him to answer our prayers according to His good will and purposes. Amen. And this is probably the hardest part of our prayer lives, I believe, because it means that our prayers aren't always going to be answered the way that we think they are, or the way that we want them to be answered. In verse 2 of that passage of Luke 11, Jesus again says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Once we begin with praise and adoration, when we come before our God with reverence and fear, we should then shift our focus on our needs and our wants. God encourages us to do that, but realizing that God again will answer them according to His will, His purposes. And that's important to know, that God will always answer our prayers. We spoke about that just before. Madge touched on that. He will, from my experience, always answer our prayers, but it won't always be yes. Amen. It won't always be yes. And there's actually this really incredible clip or scene in the movie Bruce Almighty. Anyone remember that movie? It's a bit old these days. Anyone seen Bruce Almighty? Yep. With Jim Carrey. Bit of a funny movie. But there's this scene when his character, Jim Carrey, gets these godlike qualities and he gets all these prayer requests coming to him. It's a pretty funny scene. But he answers all of them with yes. So we're going to watch this scene very quickly. From the movie Bruce Almighty. Thanks, Greg. Just turn that up a little bit.
This creepy whisper thing has to end. Organization and management. That's what I need. I need a system, something concrete. Concentrate.
Files. Let all prayers be organized into files.
Well, that takes care of the voices. Not exactly a space saver, though.
Grace might notice.
I know. Prayer post-its!
Shh.
something with a lock.
Security combination, password.
Yo!
You've got prayers.
Welcome to the Revelation Superhighway. We bless, no mess. Downloading now.
It's good.
It's good.
This is gonna take a while.
Oh. 1,527,503 prayer requests. I better manifest some coffee.
Hola! Juan Valdez!
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Disfruta un buen café.
Gracias, señor.
Adios.
Adios!
Ah, now that's fresh mountain-grown coffee from the hills of Colombia.
Some kind of a dent by now.
Oh, come on! Oh. What a bunch of whiners. This is gonna suck up my whole life. You know what?
Yes,
to all! Yeah, there you go. Now everybody's happy.
Now everyone's happy. Anyone remember the movie, how it transpires? Not everyone's happy, are they? Doesn't always come to fruition when we have our prayers answered yes. So if you remember the movie, what happens next is that some people are made rich and happy, but then one catastrophe after the other happens, and it happens all around the world, unfolds all around the world. And Bruce eventually realizes that answering yes to everyone didn't actually lead to all things good. Amen? It's a reminder for us here today. Have a think about it in our lives. Once again, can you maybe see where getting what you want all the time may not be quite that good for yourselves or for others in and around your lives? Maybe when you were younger and you prayed about wanting to have that relationship with that boy or girl, that man or woman, down the track, you realize, actually, that wasn't probably going to be a wise thing. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't go down that track. Or you prayed for that that job promotion. You didn't get it. But then down the track, the person who did get it, you realized, oh, they're constantly stressed, they're anxious, they don't spend much time with their family. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't give me that job promotion. We need to trust that God knows best, amen? That we, yes, come before Him faithfully, believing that He can answer our prayers, but trusting and expecting Him to answer them according to His good will and purposes. Once again, prayer is not about getting God to do our will, as it is demonstrating that we are more concerned about His will being done in our lives and in this world. And that's the place we need to come to, amen? That's the heart we need to harvest when we come to God in prayer. That's not about us. It's about Him at the end of the day. He's number one. Holy is His name, not our name. He is perfect. He is complete. He knows what He is doing. We need to come expecting Him to answer according to His good will and purposes. Again, Jesus prayed, didn't He, that God would take the cup from Him, that being death on the cross. Three times He prayed that. Did God answer His prayer? Well, yes, He did, but He didn't give Him what He wanted. Otherwise, there would be no salvation to the ends of the earth. The Apostle Paul prayed three times as well that God would take away that thorn in his flesh. But God didn't answer his prayer because it wouldn't keep him humble and reliant upon God. His ministry wouldn't be as effective as it would have been had God taken away that thorn in his flesh. Again, we need to expect that we won't always get what we ask for, but we can be assured as we build that intimacy, as we get to know God and His character, that our wise and good God will not give us a, necessarily what we ask for, but what is best for our lives and for the life of our church. We need to trust that as well. And part of that is praying with expectation that he will provide for us with our daily needs, our daily bread. Amen? That he'll provide for us what we need, and we need to be content with that. But also that he would give us the power and strength to forgive others just as, in fact, he has forgiven us. We spoke about this extensively at the beginning of the year. Go back to the sermon that Rick came and preached, and over January, we spoke about the importance of us reconciling, forgiving others, and what that looks like in the kingdom of God. I encourage you to go back and listen to those sermons. But I want to focus on the daily bread part, because notice that it's a daily thing. Amen? Bringing our prayer requests to him, asking for our daily bread, is a daily thing. It's not something that we do once a week or when we feel like it. It ought to be something that we do constantly, persistently, which is what Jesus is reinforcing in the last part of Luke chapter 11. We are called to pray reverently. Come to him, praising him, thanking him. Pray expectantly. Finally, pray persistently. Pray persistently. You know, when those moments where I spent time with my dad playing hide and seek, if I didn't find him after the first go, I didn't give up and say, well, that's it, the game's over, I can't do this anymore. No, I kept going, I kept seeking, I kept searching for him. And again, the moment that I did find him, it was so beautiful, so rewarding. The same with our prayer lives, amen? If you don't experience him like you hoped for in the first one, after the first prayer, just keep praying, keep seeking him, keep searching. God promises that you will find him if you seek after him with all our hearts. We just have to be patient and persistent when it comes to our prayer lives. And I guess the times that you are persistent are generally the times that you want something bad enough, amen? For those of our children, we'll know, particularly young children, when you go to the shops and they see a lolly or a toy, what they do, I want that lolly, Dad or Mum. I want that toy. No, you're not having the lolly. I want the lolly, I want the toy, I want the lolly. It goes on and on. They want it so badly. Again, there's a reason why Jesus says we need to have childlike faith, amen? Coming to him constantly, persistently. God, I want you, I need you, I want to experience you. The times that we are persistent are generally the times that we want something bad enough. The question is, do you want God bad enough? Do I want God bad enough? How often we pray is a reflection of how much God is a priority to you. Do you and I desire him? Are we persistently coming to him in prayer? And do we want what God wants? Amen. The more we build intimacy with him, the more we get to know him, that's when we start to realize, okay, this is what God wants. I need to be praying into that as well. To demonstrate the level of persistence or boldness that we need to carry into our prayer lives, Jesus gives us this parable in verses 5 and 8. He tells the story of a man friend arrives at his house. And back in those days, hospitality was so important. If you couldn't provide hospitality to someone, it was a shameful thing. And so this man can't provide hospitality for this man. And so he goes, or food for this man, so he goes to his neighbor's house. His neighbor doesn't answer. He persistently knocks until his neighbor answers the door. And I think the lesson for us is clear. We must not give up on seeking God, praying to him, if we don't receive the answer to our prayer immediately. Amen. It's not a matter of prayer working or not working. We believe, and this is the point of the series, prayer is powerful and effective. It's not a matter of God being unwilling or unwilling to answer our prayers. He's extremely keen to provide for us. But it is a matter of us coming to understand if our prayers are in line with his will, but also for God to see how seriously we take our faith and how seriously we take our relationship with him too. This is exactly what we see from the prophet Elijah in James 5, 17 and 18. This is what the text says in James 5. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. Again, earnestly. What image comes to mind when you hear earnestly, passionately, persistently? And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed in faith, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. I think from this passage alone, we see again an example of how persistent their prayer life needs to be, amen. How earnestly Elijah prayed. And again, clearly he doesn't pray once. The text says earnestly that it would not rain. And God eventually answered his prayer. But it took some time, didn't it? It wasn't just automatic. He had to pray earnestly, persistently, in faith, believing and expectant that God would answer his prayer according to his purposes. But I want to put focus as well on this key part at the very beginning of the passage. Elijah was a man just like us, a human being just like you and I. I think sometimes we look at this text and we think, oh, he only answered his prayer because he's a prophet. But that's not what the text says. It doesn't say God answered his prayer because he was so high and mighty, he was a prophet of God. No, he was a man, a human being just like you and I. There's a reason why James puts that in there. The reason for that is because there's nothing special about Elijah. And the reality is there's nothing special about us either. What's special is God and God alone, amen. And our willingness, our ability to come before him reverently, expectantly, patiently. And so with all of this in mind, how are we going with our prayer lives? How much do we want to know God and grow in relationship with him? How much do we want to initiate intimacy with him? We need to learn how to pray. Again, we need to pray reverently, expectantly, patiently, persistently. And from my experience, our willingness to persistently and patiently pray comes back to what we looked at last week, how much we deem him faithful, how much we deem God to be the trustworthy God. Placing our trust and faith in God can be a difficult thing, amen? It can be hard, particularly when we can't see him, particularly when we can't have a dialogue and a conversation with him like we are having here today or that we have on a regular basis. But that's why Jesus gives us these last few passages of Luke chapter 11, 9 to 13. Let me read that out for us again one more time. If you go next slide for us, thanks. Greg, next one. Which of your fathers, if your son asked for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asked for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? What Jesus is saying here as we finish up is essentially that we can trust God, amen. He hears our prayers, but again, he will answer them with what is best for us in our situation. He wants what's best for us. He definitely does. And so as we come to him in prayer, we need to, again, as we finish up, trust that he will answer our prayers according to his goodwill and purposes, and trust that he has the situation and this world in his control. Amen. Pray reverently, pray expectantly, pray persistently, and let us see the incredible work that God does in our lives and in the life of this church. Let's pray. Our holy, incredible, loving Father, Lord God Almighty, we pray that you, Lord, again, would do a mighty work in our lives. As we come to you in prayer, we pray, Lord God, that you would continue to do a work, continue to harvest a desire, a passionate desire to come before you. And as we do so, Lord, my prayer is that we would continue to build intimacy with you, Lord God. And as the worship team come up now to lead us in our final song, I pray that this song, Jesus Strong and Kind, would again remind us, Lord God, of the incredible, faithful, loving Father that you are. Thank you that you love us so much that you would send your Son, Jesus, to die the death that we deserved, ultimately that we may live. So my prayer for us once again here today, that we would grow in our desire to meet with you on a regular basis, both individually but also corporately. And I pray, Lord God, that you would continue to harvest a desire to come before you in prayer in the life of this church. In Jesus' name we pray. man.